produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Broken Radio Broadcast. I am your host, Angie West. One of my favorite verses is Psalms 34:18, which says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." In each program, I have continued to share with you how your brokenness is a big deal to God. If you are His child, He promises to take care of you and your broken pieces of life. He promises that He loves you unconditionally, and He wants for us to know that we are loved by Him. He wants for us to choose Him alone over anything else in this world. On this show, I want to continue to help build you up, to encourage you, and to share more testimonials like mine in order to give further help in your lives. Even if you've made mistakes in your lives, everyone needs to know that they are still loved by God no matter what you've done. You need to know that everyone can and will make the wrong choices in their lives at some time or another. No matter what path you've chosen in your life, you can be forgiven and you can still be used by God. As always, I will continue to share how you can move past the brokenness in your personal life and how you too can become a better broken. To start for today, let's, review some of the things that we have already talked about. In the introduction, I talked about how you're not too young or too old to experience any type of brokenness in your life. It's what we do with those trials and those burdens in our lives that make us, or they can break us. God does not give you these burdens. He allows Satan to have his way in giving these burdens in order to test us, to try us, in order to mold us and to make us who we are to be in Christ. Daily, we can learn to have more faith in Him and more hope in Him, and He can help renew our brokenness if we trust in Him in all areas of our life. Then in chapter 1, I spoke of how everything began in the creation and fall of man back in Genesis 2, chapters 2 through 3, where Satan tempted Eve, but worse than the temptation itself, Eve gave in to the very thing that she was being tempted of, and for the first time ever, she knew that she was a sinner and that she had sinned. As humans, we too can fall into sin's trap if we're not careful. Then I talked about how it was their choice to sin. We have the freedom to choose whether to sin in our lives or not to sin, to turn to the Lord's ways in our lives. And if you haven't asked for the Lord's forgiveness for the sin in your life, any type of sin in your life, even if it's just a little white lie, it's still considered sin. And we need to have the Lord's forgiveness for any type of sin that we have in our life. And we have to fully give our sins and our trials and different things that we go through in life. We have to fully give those things to God. And if you haven't fully given your life to Christ, your sins will eventually destroy you and who you are as a person. Your burdens and your trials can also destroy you as a person. So remember those things. Remember to give the Lord Jesus all of your sin and all of your burdens. He'll forgive you. Doesn't matter what you've done. In chapter 2, I talked about how broken curiosity leads to broken choices. No matter how many times we are broken, He loves us unconditionally. He is the only one that can put all of our broken pieces back together. And we all struggle sometimes with saying no to sin. And we usually give in. A lot of times we can give in to the temptations if we dwell on the temptation that Satan gives us. But when we keep dwelling on that temptation, they become stronger and bigger. And my prayer is that you will see and know that you're not alone in these battles. We all face these type of battles of temptations in our lives. It's what we do with these battles. And if we give them to the Lord, He does forgive us and give us that peace of mind that we are looking for. And then in chapter 3, I talked about buried brokenness. There are some things in our lives that might, some situations that might arise in your life that it may be without your approval. Maybe you've been through a trial of someone hurting you physically or some type of abuse or anything like that. I gave you some things in this chapter to remember if you're faced with or have experienced any type of abuse in your life. Sometimes in these times, it's hard to pick up these type of broken pieces, and it's hard to give these things to the Lord. We want to hold on to those things, and we want to not give those things to the Lord because of how we're ashamed or how we feel. But we must give these things in order to be put back together from God. In order to move on in your life, you have to learn to forgive that person for their wrongdoing, and you have to learn to give that completely to the Lord. And when it feels like in this time of your life that you are falling apart, that no one is there for you, nobody understands what you're going through, trust in Him. You may not always feel His presence in those particular situations, but know that He is there, that He is God, and He's allowed this to happen for some reason in your life. Know that maybe someday you can help someone else who has gone through the same thing. So just remember that He is always there for you. Then in chapter 4, covering up the brokenness of sin, talked about how it's not the temptation that is actually the sin or becomes a sin. It's the decision that we choose to partake in the temptation. When we choose to do the things that we're tempted to do, that's when it becomes sin. The more that we thrive on temptation, the weaker we actually become to commit the sins that we think about. If we walk away from these temptations, we are made stronger through the Lord, and we are blessed as we cling to the Lord. And then when disappointments arise in our lives, which we all have disappointments in our lives, we can, if we're not careful, develop bitterness and hold things inside and not give those things to the Lord. But it's solely by God's grace and our dependence upon Him that keeps us from reaching this point, as it states in Hebrews 12:15. A right relationship with Jesus Christ is the only thing that will get us, that will keep us from getting to this point. So remember to have a relationship with Him, even when you have disappointments in your life. Don't push Him away. Trust in Him. Then in chapter 5, I talked about how Jesus condemned the Pharisees for outwardly appearing holy and clean, but on the inside, their hearts were dirty, unclean, and corrupt. I talked about how the definition of the Pharisees is a self-righteous or a hypocritical person, as we know today. Outwardly, this means you're living your life on the outside as a good person, a Christian. Your life is pleasant to others, but you're giving the appearance that you are a good person, but deep inside your heart, you have sin that is buried, and you're hypocritical, and you're living hypocritically in your heart. But we need to rely on Jesus Christ in these times. We need to give our sin and our burdens to Him in order for us to live like we should as a true Christian. When we rely on our own strength and our own wisdom, we're going to fail every time. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us in our past, we'll have the power that only He can give to break free from the chains of sin and burdens that we continually have to bind us. And then I talked about some ways that we could deal with our evil desires versus the fruits of the Spirit. And you can read about that more in the book. And then in chapter 6, I talked about how repetition is the key to brokenness. We can't fight sin on our own. If we allow, Satan will continue to tempt us, but if we do not have the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome these temptations, we will continue to repeat the sin that's before us. We all can ask ourselves this question: why didn't I make better choices in my life or my younger years? But we can't dwell on that question. We need to remember that if we repent, God forgives us, and that He will help us as we walk alongside of Him. We need to remember that He is there to help us. He has plans for our lives, no matter what we choose to do in our lives. God has a plan for every single thing that happens in our lives. If you continue to repeat sin and you don't repent of those sins and you don't try to do right in your life, those sins will eventually destroy you. And so we need to remember that we can't focus on the past. We have to trust Him today, repent of those sins, and trust Him and believe in Him to help us and to guide us along the way. And then I talked about how no one likes to be punished in any way, but as it says in Hebrews 12, verses 7 through 10, punishment is a way for us to learn. If you'll think about the times when you're small, as a child growing up, you would do something wrong, and guess who would punish you for it? Either your parents or teacher or whoever is in charge of you at that time punishes you for whatever type of sin it was that you committed, and they teach you through that. Well, it's a fact of life that the Lord also allows for us to be punished if we fail Him. We are punished not because the Lord dislikes us or wants to punish us, but because He loves us just like our parents loved us and trained us. He loves us the same or more and wants us to learn from our bad choices in our lives. And so don't get angry at Him when you go through a time of punishment because of your mistakes. Know that the Lord is trying to teach you things from all that you've been through. In chapter 7, I talked about the unrepentant brokenness. Unrepentant means showing no regret for one's wrongdoings. Means doing something and not caring what anybody else thinks. But you know what? You can only cover up sin for so long. Sin, unfortunately, is like a disease. Without making things right in your lives, that sin will eat at your heart and your soul until it's either exposed or confessed. Remember that absolutely nothing can be hidden from God. Repent of your sin. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can completely wash away all of your sins. No one else, no other man, no other person can wash away the sin like of your life. Only Jesus Christ can. He died on the cross so that we could be cleansed. You do reap what you sow in this life. And that's another motto you can live by, is knowing in your mind and in your heart that you're going to reap what you sow. So make the right choices in your life. Repent of any sin that you might have in your life. And today, I wanted to talk about chapter 8's topic, which is broken and shattered dreams. There are times in our lives where we have dreams, we have ambitions, we have goals in our lives, but sometimes those things do not happen. I've learned through different types of dreams in my life that either came true or came true for a little while and didn't stay, that sometimes those dreams can be broken. I've taught school in a Christian school for over 10 years, and where we are located now, there's not a Christian school here that I could work in. And so that's been a hard hit for me personally, but I've learned to give that to the Lord, and I'm learning still to trust in Him in those times. We all have dreams as kids to do this or do that in our lives, and sometimes those dreams come true, sometimes they don't. We can rebel against what the Lord wants for us to do in our lives. There were times in my life, I can remember a time that I worked for Walmart, and I worked there for about three years or so, and my manager, whom I was very close to at that time, she tried to talk me into going further into my position there as just a salesperson and to be a manager of the store. And I knew how hard she worked and the long hours that she worked and stuff. And it all, the money looked good, but I knew in my heart that the Lord had called me to teach. And so I did not want to rebel against God's plan for my life. Yes, the money looked great and all of that, but I knew that I would be rebelling against the plan of God if I were to take up her offer for me to go into management. So, and we all have times in our life where we've rebelled against God's plans for our lives. But we need to, when we're making a decision for our life, a lifelong decision, we need to pray about those decisions. We need to think about those decisions and weigh out the good and weigh out the bad and allow for the Lord to direct you as you're making important decisions in your life. As I think of my own personal testimony, I'm reminded of the story of Samson and Delilah in Judges chapter 16. Samson was created by God for a very special purpose. The Lord gave him strength like no other man, and his strength was through the growth of his hair. But Samson became arrogant and proud, and he wasted his life and his strength as he trusted in the things of the world. Samson slid when he sought Delilah. He listened to the lies of Delilah as she deceived him into turning away from God and turning away from trusting in the Lord. Delilah betrayed his trust by sharing the secret of his God-given strength with the lords of the Philistine, which resulted in him losing his eyes. He told her the secret. She went and told the lords of the Philistines, and they came while he was asleep. They tied him up because he was not the strongest man in the world anymore. They tied him up, and they arrested him, and he lost his eyes. His hair, his strength, and eventually his life. If you'll remember the story, how Samson regained his strength at the end of his life, and he was in between two pillars of stone, and he, when they were all gathered together in that place, he tore those pillars of stone with his strength again down and killed himself along with the others that were against him and the Lord. So the Lord did cause him to regain his strength, but at the very end of his life. So we need to remember this in our lives too. The Lord can give us back the trust in him, and the Lord can give us back strength to overcome our battles, but we have to remember that we have to depend totally upon him. No matter what you are going through, remember that God is there for you. God loves you, and through your own personal brokenness, no matter what you've done in your life, you can be used by him. You have what is called a testimony. And God can use your testimony to be a blessing and a help to someone else if you would allow for him to. When it seems like you're all alone, remember that you are not alone. God is there for you. And then you also have Christian friends that are there for you as well. Be very careful, though, in whom you trust and talk to here on this earth. Sometimes we only can take our burdens to the Lord, and he alone can help you in those times. Read his word. Talk to him. When I think of prayer, I think of regular conversation, just like I'm conversing to you right now. Speaking to him, just like I'm speaking to you. And that's basically the definition of prayer. It's not about the formality of it, how you pray to him, the words that you say to him. No, it's about having a relationship with him and talking to him, just like we're talking right now, or I'm talking right now. I want to say again that it's my desire to share what the Lord places on my heart, to give things that I've gone through in my life to help you. And I want to be a blessing to you. And I'm so thankful that the Lord has allowed for me to have this opportunity to speak to you about these things. And as I stated before, you can find or read more about my personal testimony when you get the book. I share a little bit more of my personal testimony there. But I do want to say that I'm very blessed to be able to be on this radio program. And I wanted to say a special thank you to the Lifted Authors Radio Network for also allowing me to be a part of this wonderful organization and radio program. And a special thank you to Kayla Padgett and to Tammy Polk, who has been a blessing and a help to me in so many ways. And I wanted to say thank you to my husband for his constant love and support. He helps me in any way that he can. To my children, who has always been there to support their mom and in every way that they can. And to other family members of mine that have been there for me, and my precious friends that have supported me and loved me through everything in my life that has happened. Thank you all very much for your continuous love and support. God has blessed me in so many ways, and I'm so undeserving of His blessings, but I'm so thankful for His love and His care for me, and how He has taken care of every single one of my needs. I may not have what I want all of the time, but the Lord has taken care of every one of my needs in my life. And so I cannot complain. I may get down about things sometimes. I may have a hard time not being able to do some of the things that I used to do as far as teaching and different things like that. But I know that God has a reason for that, and He's blessed me beyond belief. And I'm so thankful for His wonderful love and blessings that He's bestowed me with. And of course, I want to thank all of you who continue to listen, and thank you for your love and support for this ministry. I also want to say a very special thank you to all of you who are listening right this minute. Again, this has been a Better Broken radio broadcast. My name is Angie West. Please join me every first and third Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. Central Time, Central Standard Time, and 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on this radio program right here. Or you can listen to it on my Facebook page, which is entitled A Better Broken Radio Broadcast. I am still working on uploading all of the radio programs on that page, so please help be patient with me on that. It's taking a little bit longer than I planned, but trying to get those loaded on that Facebook page. And if you're interested in purchasing my books, you can find them under Amazon.com under author Angie West. And if you're interested in, I also make handmade jewelry, resin jewelry. And if you're interested in ordering or purchasing my resin jewelry, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram under the business pages entitled A Better Broken Books and Jewelry Collection. That's on both Facebook and Amazon. And so if you want to purchase any of these items, I would be glad to sign the book if you want a book and send it to you. But you can go under Amazon.com for those again. You can also order those on my personal Facebook page as well. Again, I wanted to say thank you very much for listening, and have a blessed and wonderful day.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way radio channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
pray to roll up my sleeves and get on my knees, have a little faith in myself. Although sometimes it gets a little rough and the struggle knocks knocking on my door, I know I'm used to running away when I hear the negative things people have to say. They said I'd never make it this far, but I knew something different from the start. My story, yeah. Oh, my story. Oh, that never thought I would. Never thought that I would leave. My story. Oh, listen. I used to do.
Hello, everyone, and happy Tuesday. Welcome to Speak Up Sis Talk Radio, a member of the Lifted Authors Radio Network, a division of the Finding My Way Internet Radio Network, USA Worldwide. This is the show where I, as well as my guest authors, share our stories through our books to inspire you to speak up and share your own story. Today, I have invited author Taisha Brewer Fields to Speak Up Sis Talk Radio to talk to us about her book, which debunks the myths surrounding mental illness. Let me tell you, this is a great conversation. I know you're going to enjoy it. So welcome Taisha into the Speak Up Sis Talk Radio space.
Hey,
hello, Taisha. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am doing well. Thank you so much for accepting the invitation to come on Speak Up Sis Talk Radio and share your story as well as
the works of your hands via your book, or shall I say books, with me as well as the Speak Up Sis Talk Radio audience. So thank you and welcome.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. So we're going to go ahead and just kind of jump right into this. If you will, please, Taisha, tell us a little bit about who you are, and what it is that you're currently doing in your life right now.
Okay. I am a mental health advocate. I am an author of 2 published books. And right now, I am just trying to get my business started with advocacy and mental health. I am also in school for behavioral health. So eventually, I do want to be a licensed psychologist with my own practice.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So I'm working on that. Of course, I'm a wife, mother, and that's about it.
That's a lot. You said that's about it. Like, oh, you know, I just walk my dogs all day and eat popcorn and drink wine. No, ma'am. That's, that is quite a bit. So you said you're a mom. How many children do you have?
I have 5 children. I call them the Fab 5.
Oh my goodness. It's rare that I meet a woman who can one up me. But you have definitely one upped me. My goodness. This is new. I did not know that you have 5 children. Girls, boys, what's the makeup of the children, and what are their ages?
3 girls, 2 boys. The oldest is 10 and the youngest is 6 months. So I have them from 6 months, 4, 5, 8, and 10.
Oh my goodness. Woo! I remember those days, Taisha, with my 4 sons. My oldest is 19. He'll be 20 in April. 16-year-old twins and a 14-year-old who will be 15 this month, actually, on St. Patrick's Day. And I remember when I had a 4-year-old, 2 1-year-olds, and a newborn. I get it.
Yes, and you have twins.
Yes, I can't believe it or not, the twins are the middle children.
Wow.
Why did I go back to the well? I'm not really sure. I think I kind of forgot what made those babies happen. I don't know. But I kept going back to the well even after the twins. I'm not really sure why, but they are here and they're beautiful. And, yes, 5 beautiful babies. They are a blessing. So I'm not even going to trip, right? You've got 5. I've got 4. That's a lot, honey. We could whip some people up on a basketball or football or something. So listen, let's go ahead and jump right into, your first book. That's the one I really want to. Okay. And it's entitled Normal by Whose Standards? Debunking Myths That Surround Mental Illness. Okay. You know, you're going to have to give us some background on this book. What made you want to write this book?
Okay. So first I will start by telling you all what made me want to write it. I have dealt with mental illness for most of my life, really as long as I can remember. So I was very young when I had my first episode, and it started out as like a depressive episode, and I eventually got diagnosed with clinical depression. And that was, I can't remember the exact age I was, but I was in elementary school, so I was still very young. And then it eventually progressed to major depressive disorder. And then when I was 26, I got diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder, depressive type, after actually getting a psychological testing done.
Okay. So I'm going to need you to please help me, as well as the listeners, get maybe a better understanding of some of the diagnosis, because I can be honest and say I really don't have a clue as to the difference between clinical depression or major depressive disorder, or even the, I can't, what did you say, what was the last one?
Schizoaffective disorder, depressive type.
Yes.
Yes.
So if you will please just briefly in a layman's terms, kind of help me as well as the listeners understand the progression of the disorder. It sounds like it's sort of a progressive type of disorder versus three totally separate. I'm not sure. You want to help us understand that?
Right. It was more of a progressive thing, like you said. Clinical depression is, it's more like it comes and goes. Like, you may have it for this amount of time, and then it may get better, it may go away, but it could come back. So it's not like a ongoing thing, but it is a long-term thing, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. It was medication given to you during this this phase of it?
Yes, but not from the start, though. It started out with the school counselor, and then it progressed to psychologist, psychiatrist. And of course, once I started seeing a psychiatrist, that's when medicine got involved, because that's what a psychiatrist is. They prescribe medicine. A psychologist cannot prescribe medicine.
Okay. All right. So what sort of led to the next level, I guess, the major depressive?
Yes. I guess my episodes just kept, I don't know if it was that they were coming more frequent or if they were getting worse, but I do know that during high school, I was like a freshman in high school, that's when I had my first suicide attempt. And I can't even remember if that was when the major depressive disorder came or if it was before then. But prior to that, I was not on medication. I had taken myself off of medication. I didn't want to take it. So after that attempt, then of course I got back on medication and started getting treatment regularly again.
And did that help?
Well, I'm not going to say it didn't help. I'm going to say that I was in denial, and I was a teenager, and you know how teenagers
are. I understand. Yeah.
I didn't do what I was supposed to do. So.
Gotcha. So fast forward, you're now at this third sort of level or phase of this particular disorder.
Yeah.
And what does that look like? How can you explain that to us?
So schizoaffective disorder, and believe it or not, I had never heard of it until I got diagnosed with it. But it is a combination of two kinds of major mental disorders. So you can have schizoaffective disorder, depressive type, which is a combination of a mild schizophrenia and affective disorder, bipolar type, which is a combination of a mild schizophrenia and bipolar.
Okay. All right. So now you're at that place, and that's where you sit as of today. Is that correct? All right. So from this place, how did you get to a place where you decided, I want to write a book about this?
I have always known that I wanted to write a book, but I just didn't know how to get started, about what. And then this kind of started happening in my life. And it was just like, for a long time, I was in denial. I was like, nothing's wrong with me, or trying to hide it, trying to cover it up, because I was always embarrassed about it, not wanting people to know. And then it just got to a point where I'm like, people need help. Like, people need help. People need to know that they're not alone, that they can overcome stuff, come through stuff. And that's kind of where I got the idea from to write the book.
Okay. And a part of the title is debunking myths that surround mental illness. So do you mind sharing with us what some of those myths are that you found on while you've been on this journey and in the process of, you know, writing the book? What are some of the myths that you found that surround mental illness?
Yes. So one of the big ones that I have heard a lot of is, oh, you just need prayer. And that comes from, of course, the spiritual and religious people, and which I agree that we all need prayer, but sometimes you need more than prayer. And so I've noticed that a lot of churchgoers or religious individuals don't believe that mental illness or mental disorders are real.
Okay, and I'm glad you said that, because Speak Up Sis Talk Radio, we are on a Christian network. And so a lot of the listeners of the Lifted Authors Radio Network, as well as the Finding My Way network, are Christians, are Christ followers, mm-hmm. right? And so I'm sure that this is a topic that many of them have some thoughts about, and have some feelings about. Do you consider yourself a Christian or a follower of Christ? Okay, so how do you, sort of reconcile the idea of just pray about it, and at the same time sit in a place where you know that this is something you deal with? How do you handle the two components, as an individual, and how do you share that or help people who may sit in a place like you, who are dealing with mental illness, but are at the same time followers of Christ?
So it took me a while to accept it, you know, once again. And one of the reasons, when I got older, one of the reasons that caused me to have a hard time accepting it was that me and my husband were in the church real good. We were just good churchgoers. And mm-hmm. so I felt like, well, all I need is prayer, or I don't need medicine, or, you know, just stuff like that. So that's one of the things that made it hard for me to accept the fact that I do have a disorder and I do need treatment in addition to prayer and reading my Bible and fasting and everything else. So just really acceptance and educating myself.
I understand. One thing you said, when you first began to share is that many church people believe that mental illness is not real. And I've shared some thoughts about this on some other platforms. I try not to get too heavy into controversial things, because I know that's just not where God has led me to go. However, I agree that mental illness is real. It's not that it's not real. I think we all have differing opinions about how to deal with it. But for anybody to say that depression is not real or any other type of mental illness is not real, clearly they don't read the Bible.
Right. You are so right.
Because the Bible is filled with people who had all sorts of physical ailments as well as psychological ailments. How we deal with those, that may differ, but we've got to acknowledge that is real and that people are living with these conditions and they need help.
And one of the things, one of the things that I always say is treatment is not limited to, like, a lot of people think that treatment is limited. So when you say treatment, they automatically think, oh, medicine or oh, therapist, oh, psychologist. And that's not the case. Those are very important factors for a lot of people living with disorders. But for some people, treatment may mean that you need to exercise, because exercise has actually been proven to be one of the most effective treatments for not only physical illnesses, but mental illnesses as well. So I always say treatment is treating yourself, whatever you need to do to treat yourself to wellness.
Wow. Is that another one of the myths that you cover in your book? This idea that treatment is just medication or a therapist?
I briefly talk about that in the first book. I elaborate on that more in the second book.
So what's the title of your second book? I believe you told me it's Outside the Jacket.
That's correct.
Okay, so we're gonna get into that one for a second. Let's just go ahead. I don't like to wait. I like to eat my dessert before dinner sometimes. So
absolutely.
The title of Outside the Jacket. Okay, so I'm just gonna be honest. Considering the first book is about mental illness, when you told me Outside the Jacket, I was thinking, is she talking straight jacket? Outside the straight jacket? Please help me out. Was I on the right track or no?
You are on the right track. I am not talking about a physical straight jacket though. I talk about, in the second book, I talk about mental bondage. And I compare that to being in a straitjacket, because when a person is in a straitjacket, then they can barely move. They have limited movement. And so mental bondage is kind of the same thing. Like, you're very limited to what you can do, what you can accomplish, because I say that the mind is the devil's playground. When he has your mind, then he has everything that he needs, because that just, the mind is what are the words I'm looking for? The mind is.
It's your soul. I don't think people realize that we are spirits. We live in a body and we possess a soul, and our soul is our thinker, our feeler, right? It's our thoughts, it's our emotions. And so if he can, you know, wrap his hands around your mind and your emotions, then I mean, that's you.
Absolutely.
Right? So I totally get that. I know what you were saying, girl. Go ahead.
Yes. And so I talk about, I dig deeper into some of my stories where I was in mental bondage and how I got set free, and using that to help others get set free.
That's what's up. I totally believe, in Revelation 12 and 11, and that's sort of the heart or the foundation of my Speak Up Sis platform, whether it's Speak Up Sis with Andrew Charmaine, my Facebook Live, or whether it's Speak Up Sis Talk Radio, or if it's Speak Up Sis Podcast. It's all about understanding that we overcome the enemy through the blood of the Lamb as well as the word of our testimony. So when we get to a place where, like you and I and so many other people, are willing to share the words of our testimony,
yeah,
right? We're willing to open up and be honest about what we're going through in our lives. Not only do we heal, but we help other people to be able to walk in a place of healing, and to begin to overcome, their obstacles or whatever issues they're dealing with in their own lives. So I want to go back to your first book, Normal by Whose Standards. When I think about the word normal, oh my goodness. Normal is so relative.
Yes.
It's relative. And when people talk about things being normal, I just want to say, whose normal are you talking about? Like, which normal?
You're so right. And that's why I use that title to go with what I was talking about in the book, because it's like society has formed this view of what is normal and what is not normal. But normal by whose standards? Like, who? Everyone is normal. Your normal just may not be my normal.
Right. Right. When I was an AW2 advocate, or an Army Wounded Warriors advocate, I worked with our country's most severely wounded, ill, and injured service mm-hmm. members who are in the Army branch of the military. And one of the things I used to try and help my clients understand is that they were going to have to learn how to live a new normal.
Yeah.
Because the life they had prior to their injury or illness, or, you know, whatever they're dealing with, their condition, the life they had prior to that is gone.
Right.
Life changed with the injury, the illness, the condition. And they're going to have to first, like you said, get to a place of accepting
right.
that, so that you can figure out what your next steps will be and what the best next steps will be for
yes.
you.
I like that.
We all have to, we all got to find a new normal at some point, even as believers, you know, when you get that transformed heart, that renewed spirit, that right mind, your normal
right.
changes.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying? You got some new conditions.
Absolutely.
Some people will call us crazy, right?
That's what they do. You're right.
You got a mental problem. You believe in that Jesus
mm-hmm.
stuff, right? But it's a new normal. You've got to now learn how to live in this new place with this new understanding of who you are, at this particular time, right? And there are things you're going to have to do, in order to operate in this new place. So, okay, share with us. We have enough time for you to share with us another myth that you debunk and your book surrounding mental illness.
Okay, so another myth that I've heard is mental illness means what society calls slow, referring to one's IQ. And a mental disorder does not always affect a person's IQ. Some of the people with the highest IQs are people with a mental disorder.
I think it's the word mental.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people equate mental with cognition.
Yes.
I think that's it right there. Like, yeah, if you say something, it's like, oh, something's mental. It's your head. It's your thinker. It's,
right.
you know, how smart
right.
you are. And I agree with you. I can see how people would think right. that. So how do you debunk that? What do you mind sharing with us just a little peek into the book? How do you debunk that myth in your book?
I basically share that a mental illness does not always have anything to do with your IQ. Just like me, I have a major mental disorder and I've written books. I'm in school. I'm very functional at life. It's just that, like we just discussed, I have a new normal. I have to take medication. I have to make sure that I'm treating myself for my mental wellness so I can do these things, be a mother, be a wife, continue to write, continue to go to school, because of course, mental illnesses does affect your cognitions and your ability to perform your daily life activities, but it does not have to.
Gotcha. The treatment can help you be able to operate at your optimal level. Is that a decent word to use?
Yes.
You had listened, sis. I can only keep it 100 with you. I'm not the most PC person, okay. Although I do believe in being right. respectful. So I try to use the right words because I'm old school and country mixed with a little ghetto, mixed with a little, straight no chaser. And so sometimes it's hard for me to make sure that I'm using, words that don't offend people. So that's what's up. That's what's up. All right. Listen, I am grateful that you took just a little bit of time out of your schedule to come share with us a piece, just a fraction of your story as well as this book. Tell me, who was this book written for? Is there a specific audience? Is this book written for people who are actually dealing with mental health issues, or is this a good book for people who are working with individuals with mental, or is this a book to just make every, who's going to benefit from reading this book?
I think everyone could benefit because the awareness is needed, whether you're dealing with the mental illness or not. The awareness is needed to decrease the stigma that surrounds it.
Okay. Do you do some other work outside of, you already have like a ton of stuff you're doing. You're in school, you're dealing with your own kids, with your husband, you're dealing with all these things. However, do you find any time to actually work with young people who may be dealing with what you dealt with when you were a high school student? We didn't even get into the suicide attempts and things of that nature. But do you mentor or work in some capacity like that? Are you open to working at that capacity?
I have not done any work like that yet, but I am open to it and I am hoping to be able to start doing it. I have, this was last year. Okay.
Hold on a second. There was a break. I don't know what happened. So start that over for me.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to edit this
so
piece.
So I have not done any work like that. I have not mentored yet, but I am open to it. I actually want to start doing speaking engagements and mentoring other individuals. I have hosted a few events surrounding mental illness, just bringing awareness. And God has given me a vision to actually put one together for May, which is Mental Health Awareness Month. So I am in the process of doing that. I'm just trying to really get some people together and I'm just letting God lead me at this point on that. But I am open to working with other individuals, speaking engagements, or, you know, whatever.
Okay, so listen, this is your opportunity here on the Speak Up Sis Talk radio show to put yourself out there. So give the people your social media handles or your email or however they can contact you.
So I have Facebook. My personal Facebook is Taisha Alexis. And I also have a business page, and that's Glowing Through Concrete. And through is spelled THRU. And I'm on Instagram as Ty_Alexis.
Okay, so I am going to add your information on the Speak Up Sis Talk radio page. So anyone who wants to connect with you, you'll be able to go to Speak Up Sis Talk radio on Facebook and find all of Taisha's contacts, all of her social media contacts, if you want to reach out to her or just follow her journey. How can people get your book?
First book, Normal by Who Standards, that can be purchased on Amazon or any bookstore online. And the second book can be purchased on Amazon. The second book can be purchased as an ebook as well.
Okay. See, she threw that out there, y'all, because your girl went to get Normal by Who Standards and it was paperback. And I was like, so I'm going to have to wait to get that one in. And then I'll let you all know what I think about that one when I actually get the paperback. So it's really good to know that Outside the Jacket can be purchased in ebook format, because that's typically how I read my books these days. I have to read on the fly. So I need it to be on my phone so I can just kind of, you know, read it or listen to it on the fly. So, okay, sis, listen, I appreciate your time. I appreciate your talent. I bless God for your life and your testimony. I'm so grateful that you're willing to share this word of your testimony, because mental illness is still taboo, especially in communities with people of color. We're still in a place where we really don't want to deal with it. We really don't like talking about it. You know, even in, you know, religious spaces, it's still pretty taboo. So I applaud you for being willing to share the word of your testimony to help some other people be able to open up their mouths and share the word of their testimony as well. So thank you.
You're welcome.
And I appreciate
you, Taisha. Thank you again for having me.
You are so very welcome, and please make sure you connect with me when you're ready to start doing your program in May. I would be more than happy to put all of your information out on the Speak Up Sis platforms so that people can actually show up to your event or support the event in whatever way you need them to support.
Okay, awesome.
Okay,
thank
so don't
you.
Forget us. All right, everybody. We are done. Thank you so much for rocking with us today on Speak Up Sis Talk Radio, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.